Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. Good morning. How are you this sharp, fine, beautiful day? Praise be unto God. I tell you, it is a wonderful day to be alive. It is wonderful to be able to say to you this morning, good morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. This is Apostle Ed Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I'd like to say good morning to my beautiful and lovely co-host. Good morning, beloved. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, beautiful. I am well. Good morning to all of our callers. This is Minister Tabika Garnes, and I'm so happy to be on, and it is a beautiful day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I know there will be people doing cookouts today. Praise be unto God. And there'll be those that are missing the cookouts because they are still sincerely and seriously, you know, holding on to staying at home or wearing your mask all the time. It's a little hard to eat at a cookout with your mask on. So people are still taking precautions. Whatever you decide to do today, I pray that you stay safe and blessed by the company that you are with, and know that every day is an Independence Day when we serve the Lord. Every day, Independence Day for us as we serve the Lord. So God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 We're going to go ahead and open in prayer before I do my regular roll call. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. But I want to say good morning. Praise be unto God. Look, I'm saying the good mornings anyway. Good mornings anyway to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, beloved. Love you so very much. Proud of you and the things that you're doing. May God continue to bless you and continue to walk in your freedom. So good morning to Tamika. Good morning to Joyce and Lester. God bless you, beloved. Good morning to Teresa. Hallelujah. God bless you, my friend. Joyce in New York. Praise God. Good morning to you. To the Crawfords. Bless the Lord. To Isaiah in Chicago. Isaiah in Pennsylvania. Bless God. To Prophetess Kim. Prophetess Dorn. God bless you. Love you so much. So glad that y'all are able to join us this morning. Prophetess Dorn, good morning to you. Good morning to our Facebook followers. Good morning to you. Good morning to all of New Vision. Good morning to my family. Praise be unto God, my sister, and others that are listening in today. God bless you. God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made. So let's rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, let's be glad in it. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name because truly you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, and God, there is none like you. I thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you for the opportunity to praise your name, O God, to love on you, Father God, to walk in your grace, your mercy, O God. It was your tender kindness that got us through the night, Father. I thank you for the peace of the Lord, hallelujah, being upon us at this moment, Father God. I thank you for praise be unto God. Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be done. God, I thank you that there is none like you. Nowhere, Father God, there is none like you. Lord God, pray for forgiveness of our sins. May there be anything that we have done, said, or even thought of, God, including not doing what we should have done. If there was anything, Lord God, that was displeasing in your sight, Father, forgive us for it in the name of Jesus. And because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, Lord God, we know that you've equipped us with the ability to forgive just like you do. So, Father, we extend forgiveness now, Lord God, to anyone who has caused us any trouble, any hurt, any harm, any disappointment, Father God. We forgive them in the name of Jesus. And, God, we extend the spirit of grace and mercy upon them just as you have done for us. For you have created us in your image, Lord God, and it is in your image that we choosing to walk in today. I thank you for the transformation, Lord God. I thank you for touching hearts, Lord God, and taking hearts of stone and turning them into hearts of flesh, Father God. Lord, I praise your holy name that we see so many others walking. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit, oh God, that is strong and stands within us, Father God, when we are weak. Lord God, you know the state of this country, Lord God. You know the things we're dealing with racism, Lord God. You know what we're dealing with, oh God, with the pandemic, Father God. You know what people are dealing with mentally, socially, physically, spiritually, economically, Lord God. You know it all, Lord God, because you are, Lord God, excuse me, you all are all-knowing. I ask you, Lord God, to continue, excuse me, I ask, Lord God, to continue by your Spirit, oh God, to move across the nation, Lord God. Cause the men and women of God to stand up for righteousness, because you clothed them in your righteousness, oh God. You have clothed us in it, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we would stand up for what is right, oh Lord God, that we would walk and talk and do the things that you call us to do at the time that you call us to do it, Lord God. Father, I thank you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I praise your name, Lord God, that there's nothing that's going on in this world that you are not. I pray that you will continue to orchestrate that which needs to be directed. Lead us, guide us, oh God. Order our steps according to your word. Lord God, open up our eyes and our ears of understanding, Lord God, that we would see things and hear things, Lord God, straight from heaven, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, for revealing unto us those things that were hidden, oh Father, that we may, Lord God, submit to your will, Lord God, and to your way. Father, have your will today, for truly again, this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad on it. Let your will be done here on earth and in these earthly vessels as it is already done in heaven. And we shall not fail to give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' awesome, magnificent name. Amen and amen. 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 Praise God. Praise amen. God. Lord, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for this day, y'all. I really do. These days, you know, there should never be a day that that goes by that we aren't grateful God allowed us to see it. And yet so many things that are going on in the day that some of us wish we didn't see. And I got that. I understand that. But those things that we hate, those things that we don't understand, those things that bring us pain when we look at the state of the nation and so forth, those things, when we look at that, that's when we say, you know, we should rejoice and be glad in this day, is because we have another day to make a change. We have another day to make change in somebody's life. You may not be able to change the entire world, but you can change, do something that causes somebody's feelings or their heart or their thoughts to change. One somebody. And so we take the world by storm, one person at a time. That, you know, that's what we can do. So don't be discouraged if you're not out marching and protesting. Don't be discouraged if you haven't started a nonprofit group that's going to be able to supply goods and needs to people all over the world. Don't be discouraged if you haven't been able to do something grandiose, if that's how to pronounce the word. Don't be discouraged. Start first with yourself. Get your mind and your heart right with God so that you will be able to look and examine those things, praise be unto God, that are going on right now. Let us be able to have the views of Christ as we are looking at these things, as we are thinking, by praying, bringing about a change, that as we pray and God changes our heart and changes our thoughts, that we are able to pray in the right manner, that we are able then to do something, a small thing, that we are able to do something that God sees, that we care, that we've taken heed to what he wants done for the day. So, beloved, I encourage you. I encourage you. Make this day a great day. Make it a great day in the Lord. Don't let it go by without you submitting to his will today. For this is the day that he has made. So go ahead and rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, Lordy. So good morning, my love, Tavika. Good morning. How are you today, honey?
I am wonderful. No complaints. I'm glad that my father allowed me to open my eyes this morning. And so I rejoice even in that. I rejoice. So how are you?
I'm good. I am good. I was smiling to myself when you said that you were glad your father allowed you to open your eyes this morning. Well, the minute you said your father, of course, I immediately thought, first of all, of your earthly father, you know, and that was before you said open your eyes. So, but that quickly, you know, glad that my father, I thought of your dad. Then when you said open your eyes, I said, okay, she's talking about her heavenly father. And then I smiled even greater because I'm glad that he allowed you to open your eyes because you called me and helped me open my eyes this morning. So I am definitely grateful. I am definitely grateful that he allowed you to open your eyes and you assisted him in getting my eyes morning,
yes.
because I was in deep, okay? Oh my goodness, praise be unto God, praise be unto God. Oh, blessed. Listen, beloved, I know, you know, that normally when it's a holiday, you know, I normally have something for you about the holiday and, you know, and that's what we talk about, the origin of it and so forth. And guess what? I'm not doing that. That's not what I want to do. I'm not doing that today. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. I know we said happy Juneteenth Day. Some of us, we know what that means as far as our Independence Day. That was our Independence Day, but the Independence Day for the United States, this is the day. Praise be unto God. So we celebrate them both. Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get another Independence Day. So praise be unto God. So we thank the Lord for our Day of Independence. And each day is a great day to give God praise. So I want to talk about this morning, I'm hoodwinking, of course, my co-host into it. What I want to talk about today is the seven basic needs of a wife. The seven basic needs of a wife. Of course, I went to family life. Family life. I love, you know, family life. I love the articles that they have, the stories that they have, and so forth. And so that's what we're going to be dealing with today, seven basic needs of a wife in the needs that a man needs to know. And this comes from a series of When a Man Loves a Woman. And, of course, the minute I saw the title of When a Man Loves a Woman, I went right to Blog Talk, you know, and I had put on When a Man Loves a Woman, you know, on YouTube. I mean, I went to YouTube, not Blog, to YouTube. And I had to play the song When a Man Loves a Woman. And there's so many things a man will do when he loves a woman, even if she isn't treating him well, do just as there are things that we do as women that we do when we love a man. So, but today we're going to talk about the needs that a woman has in her relationship, the needs she has. I pray that it definitely will bless each and every one of you, those of you that are married, those of you that desire to be married. You know, sometimes, you know, we have a desire to be married, and we are searching for in ourselves. I'm not saying we're going out there searching. Those that desire to be married, you know, somebody asks you exactly, what is it that you're looking for? What do you want? What do you desire? So these seven basic needs may help you to identify some of the things that you should be desiring. These needs are needs that you should have and may not be aware of. So this works for both. This is not only educating the men on the things that they need to provide for a woman when, you know, when they are attracting her or being attracted to her or desiring for her to be a wife, but it also helps the woman to understand that these are things that I need. You know, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. And it's amazing that we could have some needs, you know, air quotes, that we could have some needs and not even aware of the fact that it's a need. It's a need. It's something that we should have. And, of course, this is all going, based, you know, from a biblical point of view, a Christian standard, what God desires for man supply to give to his wife. So to all of you men that are on our line today, I say God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad that you're here with us today. I'm glad that you're listening. Just the mere fact that you are here is a blessing. Just the mere fact that. With that being said, women, don't forget that I always try my best to remember to encourage you to listen to Deacon Farr's show, Issues Christian Men Talk. Issues Christian Men Talk. Listen to his show, and you can always find out when it's on Facebook. Deacon Tom Farr, F-A-R-R, and Issues Christian Men Talk. Their Facebook page for them both, and listen to the show. It's good to hear what the men have to say so that we can go forth and doing what is absolutely necessary, Praise be unto God. Amen. Praise be unto God. All righty. So, a woman has seven basic needs. She has seven basic needs that a man must learn to meet if he desires to love her as fully as God intended. And that right there should be something that for those that are on this line, that should be something that catches your attention. The fact that these needs will help you to love your wife the way God intended. There are going to be other things that you're going to do and so forth, but these basic needs is what God intended. He didn't intend for a marriage to be painfully endured. He intended for us to enjoy it. You know, when he made Eve for Adam and placed them in the garden, there was no pain in sight. There was no pain in sight. They were to enjoy each other. They were to assist one another. They were a blessing to one another. And so in order for us to experience max satisfaction, it is essential that we grow to know each other and to do so according to the word of God. And, you know, look, we know that men are from Mars and women are from Venus, you know, so we think differently, we act differently, and the things that we need are completely different. And not all of them are completely different, but they're different. We have needs that totally are different from what a man needs. The men have needs that women don't need. But God put us together. He put us together. And so we should know what each other needs. We can supply it and therefore maintain a good relationship with the other. And that comes from maintaining a great relationship with Holy Spirit, with God. You know, that He should be the center of our relationship. And so as we go about today, the things that you hear today, I pray that you will put those things totally in practice. Now, excuse me, the first thing that a woman needs is a spiritual leader. She needs a spiritual leader. A woman longs to follow a man of courage and conviction and commitment, compassion and character. And you know, all of those starts with C, courage, conviction, commitment, compassion, and character. All of them starts with C. Also, he longs to follow a man, praise be to God, who follows Christ. Another C to add onto that list. She wants a man who can be both steel and velvet. I'm sorry. He can be a man's man. And at the same time, he can be gentle and tender and approachable. And such a man will be a spiritual leader in his home. He will take the initiatives in cultivating a spiritual environment for the family. He will be capable and competent student of the Word of God. He will live out a life founded on the Word of God. He will encourage and enable his wife to become a woman of God, be more of Jesus, and he will take the lead in training their children in the things of the Lord. Beloved, I don't care how handsome the man is, how good looking he is, and so forth. One of the things you want to be sure of is that he can be a spiritual leader in your home. And let me on to this, something I want to say here. I remember when we were doing a singles conference at another pastor's church, and we were talking about the spiritual leader, the man being the spiritual leader in the home. And she was the pastor of the church. Her husband at that time, he was the head of security, he was a deacon. He was there. He was her support and so forth. And all of a sudden, he raised his hand and he said, "May I say something, please?" And of course, you can say something. He said, "You, all of you women, you know, will always talk about." He said, "I've heard it over and over again about be sure that your man is a spiritual leader. Be sure that he loves the Lord. He follows the Lord." He said, "May I say, first of all, be sure that your man is truly a man." Now remember when I said that the woman wants to follow a man of courage, conviction, commit, compassion, character? A man can be that out following Jesus. Now, hear me. He does it to the utmost when he is following Jesus. But a man can be courageous. He can have conviction and have great moral standards. He can be committed. He can be full of compassion. He could have great character. And so he can do that without having Jesus in his life. So you be sure that the man has that to offer, because this man married my co-laborer, my friend, married her. He was not saved, but he was a great man. He was a man that loved her, would do anything in the world for her. He was a great father. And because of her spiritual leading and her walk in the Lord, he then got saved. And he completed those C words. He completed that. And in that, he became a better husband, a better father. And he definitely became a spiritual leader. And he is very prominent in their church, very, very prominent. So when we say she's a spiritual leader, she still needs a spiritual leader. Be sure that he is truly a good man that is open to hear the word of God and that you can take him there. The word does tell us not to be unevenly yoked, but you want to be sure that you, if he isn't saved when you meet him, that he is one that has an open heart, that the Lord is pulling on his heart, and so forth. But in all the development and in our growth, one way or the other, she needs a spiritual leader. We love having that because we follow God. We respond to love. We respond to love naturally. And God is love, and that's why so many women so easily flock to him, because we follow love. We respond to it. And a spiritual leader is what it is that we need so very much. So I encourage you, men, get it right with God and do it now. Get it right with God and he will show you how. Praise be unto God. Amen. Beloved, you go ahead and do number two for us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Before I go, I just want to ask a quick question. Are you using your earbuds? Because sometimes, like, you're going in and out.
Oh, okay. All righty. I was using the thing directed, connect directly to the headset. Mm-hmm. I was using, but okay. I can dial in and use the phone. I can dial in.
Okay.
So you keep everything going, and I will come off the microphone and get on the phone. Okay?
Okay. All right. Cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. So the second basic need is that she needs personal affirmation and appreciation. So, you know, a man who loves a woman will praise her for personal attributes and qualities. He will extol her virtues as a wife, mother, and homemaker. He will also openly commend her in the presence of others as a marvelous mate, friend, lover, and companion. She will feel that to him no one is more important in this world. And that is very important, and it is correct, and I can testify to that. Because my husband does this very thing, and it's genuine. It's not, you know, just something he does just to, because he just wants something from me. It's genuine. It's true. It's real. It's loving, and it gives me a peace. It gives me, like, I feel protected. I feel like, you know, nothing and no one can, you know, mess with me. I feel the genuine love that is coming from him. So it just, all in all, it makes me know that I am wanted by him. I'm going to do, you know, it's not a tit for tat thing. It's not, you know, I'm going to tell her this because I want something from her. Or, you know, he knows that I'm mad at him. So now he wants to start the personal affirmation and telling me how appreciative, he is of me. It's not like that. It's a daily thing. It's always there. It's not, it doesn't just come out because, you know, there was a misunderstanding and he's trying to get back into my good graces. He is genuine about his personal affirmation and appreciation to me. And I appreciate that about him. I appreciate the fact that he wants to make sure that, you know, that I'm okay and that I have everything that I need. And I bless God and I thank God because God knew exactly what I needed and he gave me exactly what I needed. And so when you do this to your, you know, to your wife, it builds up something within her, letting her know that, you know, her husband is for her, you know, that she can count on him and that he sees her, you know, and he's paying attention. You know, that's what you know, what is important in a marriage. The wife knows that you are paying attention to her. You know, your wife may get her hair cut or a different color and she doesn't say anything to her husband. She waits to see if he's paying attention, if he's noticed the fact that, excuse me, that her hair is different or that she has color in her hair. So sometimes, you know, we do certain things to see if our husbands are paying attention. And then it's like, if he doesn't say anything, you know, we get kind of defensive, like, wow, you weren't even paying attention. You didn't even notice that I got a new haircut or that I have, you know, some color in my hair. And so, you know, it's vitally important that the personal affirmation and appreciation is recognized, you know, that is recognized. And it does not always have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be in the form of a gift, you know, because sometimes gifts are given, you know, but there's no love behind it. It's just given just because, you know, maybe the husband doesn't want to hear his wife's mouth. He doesn't want to hear her, you know, he doesn't want her to be upset or doesn't want to hear, you know, him, doesn't want to hear her, you know, check the fact that he didn't do A, B, and C. But the words mean everything. They can bring life to, you know, to your wife. It can encourage her, minister to her heart, you know, some things that she may be experiencing at work. And when she comes home, she wants to know that she is appreciated at home. You know, she wants to know that you appreciate everything that she has done. And so all these things do matter. They do matter, and they are very important to your wife. Amen. Apostle, are you back? So are you there? Let me see. All right, I'm not sure what's going on her end. I don't think she's back on yet. Apostle? Okay. All right, I am going to go on to the next one, which is the third basic need of of your wife, excuse me, would be she needs personal affection and romance. So listen. So romance for a man means sex. He cannot imagine romance having sex. Romance for a woman can mean lots of things, and sex may or may not be a part of it. And that's just how we are wired. So romance is basically a game. You know, it is a specific game. It is a game of hide and go seek. She hides it and you seek it. If you find it, you will indeed agree that it is good. And on the other hand, if you don't find it, you have one of two options. First, you can get nasty, mean, and bent out of shape and just be a miserable old grouch for the rest of your life. And, you know, or the second thing is you can remind yourself it's a game. You know, sometimes you'll win and sometimes you'll lose, but that's the fun of playing the game. And then the second part of it, the second part to the game is that it is not fair. So however we you know, so however, just keep in mind that it's something to keep your marriage afloat, to keep it interesting, to keep, you know, the communication and the fun in your marriage. And I started laughing when I saw the first part where it says romance for a man means sex. And, you know, men, that's their way, that's their release, that's their way of letting go of stress and everything that may have come up against them. It's like it's a stress reliever in a way for them. But for a woman, it's more than just that. You know, we like to be held. Sometimes we may need conversation. If we had a bad day at work, it's like we got to process through all this stuff before we can basically get ourselves ready to even, you know, go forth in sex. But for a man, it doesn't take all of that. And, you know, sometimes we may want to do different things before, you know, we don't always have to involve sex when it comes to romance. Sometimes, like I said, we just want to be held. We just, you know, we just want to know that we're safe and we're protected. And then if it leads into, you know, the sex part, then so be it. But to start off with it is not it's not what we want, you know, at all times. And in your marriage, you have to know what works for your marriage. You know, sometimes your wife may not be in a mood, and you have to accept the fact that she may be tired or may not be in the mood, and not be upset about it, not be bent out of shape about it, but just, you know, let her know that you're there for her, and that if she wants to talk thing that she needs, that you are available, you know, that you are available. But once you get bent out of shape and you got an attitude and all that, it just messes, it will mess up the atmosphere. You know, she may be really turned off at that point, and you know, the sex will not happen at that, you know, it won't happen that evening. So just don't make sex the focus of your marriage. You know, don't make that the focus of your marriage. Yes, it is a part of marriage, but, you know, you don't want to make it the focus of your marriage. Amen. All right, let me see if Apostle is back. Apostle, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. All righty. Thank you so very much, beloved. Thank you. So along with that whole thing with the sex thing, first of all, let me just remind all of you, please, remember this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. So if there's something that you would like to add into the conversation, what are you supposed to do, beloved? That's right. You're supposed to press 1 on your keypad, and truly we will bring you into the conversation. So don't forget to do that. Don't forget to do that. Now, she needs intimate conversation, intimate conversation. A woman needs her husband who will talk with her at the feeling level. In other words, heart to heart. That's what she needs. She needs a man who will listen to her thoughts about the events of the day and with sensitivity, with interest and concern. Daily conversation with her conveys her husband's desire to understand her. Wise men learn soon after marriage that women are masters of code language. They say what they mean and expect you to know what they mean, and the particular words really don't matter. Unfortunately, some men are simply ill-prepared and a little dense at this point, and it often gets them into serious trouble. But men, it's so vitally important that you listen to your wife, hear what she has to say, And there are times as we're communicating with you, you know, that because men are natural fixers, you know, the minute you hear something, you're ready to jump right in and fix it. Sometimes we just want you to listen. We don't want you to fix the thing. Just listen to how we feel about it. How many times have you in conversation, heavy discussion, you know, you end up, your wife is saying, but you're not listening to me. You're not listening. And she wants you to hear her heart. She wants you to hear her heart. It is so vitally important. And don't try to, the minute she says something, jump in and tell her, well, you know, you ought to do this and you ought to do that and da-da-da-da-da. Listen to her. It shows that you care. Show some concern. Show interest. And this should be daily conversation that the two of you have, daily, both of you. And beloved, you know, I know we're talking to the women specifically today, I mean to the men specifically, but women also, we need to do the same. We need, if we need intimate conversation, then the Lord knew that that meant that there was someone we had to talk to. So he needs conversation from us as well. And we have to know when to listen. We have to know when not to push him to tell us something, to just wait on him and let him tell us what he wants to share when he's able to do so. But back to you, men, your wife needs intimate conversation. Not only does she need it to be intimate conversation, she needs honesty and openness. A woman needs a man who will look into her eyes and in love and tell her what he's really thinking. You will explain your plans and your actions clearly and completely to her because you regard her, you regard yourself as being responsible for her. So you want her to know what your thoughts are, what your plans are, what is it that you want to have done. You want her to trust you and to feel secure. And I'm telling you, that is so vitally important, not just feeling secure with a man physically, you know, he's taller than me and he's stronger than me and he'll be my protector, but also being secure in the relationship, being secure, I can trust my heart to him. I can trust my feelings to him. She wants to know that she is precious to you, and growing openness and honesty will always mark a marriage when a man loves a woman. A man will be open and honest with his wife. And there's sometimes that honesty can hurt, but you know, we'd rather you be honest with us than for us to catch you in a lie. We'd much rather you be honest with us. And it's easier. It'll take sometimes what you're being honest about may take some time for forgiveness, but the point is we can do that and forgive you for being honest with us better than we can do when it comes to you lying to us. So, man, be honest with your woman. It's important. Go ahead, beloved. What do you say?
Yes, ma'am. You're very correct about that part about, you know, being open and honest. And what you said, you hit the nail on the head about we'd rather you tell us the truth than for us to catch you in a lie. And that is so true. It hurts more when you've been lied to. You know, if I come to you and ask you a question, that must mean that I know something, or I'm trying to know the truth about something. So, and especially when we know the truth and we're asking and you're denying it, you know, you're denying it pierces the heart. It pierces the heart of the woman, because we trust the men. So, yeah, so it's very important. Just be honest and get it over with. Yes, we're going to be upset, but we give you more credit when you're honest. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we have a caller here. Praise God. Just one moment. Good morning, beloved. How are you, Joyce?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to add to that when, to us women, when we ask something of our husband, first of all, know that there is an adversary. You ask it in one way, they receive it in another way, and then you wind up in this bottleneck, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you ask the man a question, he answers you, do you look good? How do I look in this dress? And he looked at you, and you look like lumpy-itis. Okay, and so he tells you, babe, that's really not my favorite dress for you. Well, what's wrong with this dress? You know, and so all I'm saying is that when we ask the question and we want that honesty and they give that honesty, if you don't sit back and marinate on the answer, okay, do some introspection. Okay, because what sometimes we do is we come out like these mad black women, as I have in my lifetime. We come back at them, and they say, I will never be honest with you again. Okay, you asked me for honesty, and now you done went back to 1949 and told me everything I did that was wrong from 1949 to 2020. Okay, so we have to be careful. When we ask for honesty, it's almost better to hold hands and pray. Okay? When you even ask for it, so that you make God in charge of the conversation, the effective communication that you're trying to have, because it will go amok on you and it will derail you, and you know, and you will find yourself in a position that you don't want to be. So just the wisdom from the older generation.
Amen. And not only the older generation, but how long have you been married, Joyce?
31 years.
31 years. To God be the glory.
And I tell you, for every time I ask my husband for something and he tries to give it to me, and I got one of the most fabulous husbands in the world, but every time I ask him for something, and he gives what he thinks he heard me ask for, it winds up being, oh, no, that's not what I was talking about. That wasn't it, you know? Okay, because we don't know. There's not enough words in the English language to articulate our needs. Our needs are so personal and so intimate. And like I said, we have an adversary that wants to confuse and confound and take down your marriage anyway. So he does a little, I don't know, football, but you know, whatever that one is, it comes in and knocks you down before it gets out thoroughly. It's interesting, and it's a large conversation. Again, and I know you've heard me say this a million times on this same radio show, knowing your five love languages and knowing how your husband rolls. You got to know how when he talks to you, he talks to you from his love language, and so you got to learn each other's love languages. And then there are the five seasons of marriage, you know. And if you're in the winter season of your marriage, what you hear at that point is totally different than when you hear it from the spring season. There's just so much. It's a puzzle. It's such an intricate thing. Anyway, that's all.
Awesome, beloved. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's why this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. That's why, again, folks, I tell you, your input is so vitally important. It's so vitally important. So we thank you, Lady Joyce. We thank you so much for that. Where were we, beloved? I forgot. I was so wrapped up in my sister's... I forgot where we were.
We were about to start on number 6, but before we do that, Mark has something that he wanted to share. Hold on one second.
Sure.
Amen. Good day, beloved, and to all your wonderful listeners.
Good morning, my son. Good morning.
Good morning. I was walking through as I heard your comments and heard your focus, and two things I have had the opportunity to share in ministry with men about marriage, and talking to them is, one thing is communication, as you guys alluded to, communication is vitally important. But what we don't realize and what we have to do, what we do sometimes, because we're next to the person that we think loves us the most or feels that loves us the most, our expectancy is that they know what we're thinking and what we need each and every day. But what we have to realize, every day we go through a different experience, and every day a different experience shapes the way you perceive and the way you receive things. So if every day something changes about your attitude, about how you feel, your sexual, your desire for sex, your your anxiety, anything can be affected and change how you feel about something. So if person beside you can read you and understand and know everything, you've already set yourself in a bad place. We have to be the ones to openly talk, because every day our lives consistently change. No matter what, who we are next to, our lives will consistently change, and we will always have to understand that that person's emotions can be affected in that day. And as men, I think we don't do that. So I always highlight for the men, communication is the ultimate, the savior to your marriage. Communication, open communication.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it reminded me of a conversation that I had on yesterday. I was speaking with my ex, and I noticed that I was getting short as he was asking me questions, and I was answering them, you know, very short, like it was irritating me, and I heard myself. And so I apologized. First, I asked him, you know, am I answering you short? And he said, yes, you are. You know, am I being short with you? And he said, yes, you are. And I said, you know, okay, I apologize. And then he explained to me, well, I told him what was irritating me. He explained to me why he was doing what he was doing, which helped me to understand, and it made so much more sense. And now I know that I'll be more sensitive, you know, in asking or when he's asking me questions and may repeat the same question over again, I will be more sensitive, because when he asked me something and did it twice in the conversation, my attitude was like, I just told you that. Why aren't you listening to me? But he explained some things to me that I'm like, oh, okay, okay. And that's important. That's the communication. That is the communication. It is so important that, just like Elder Mark said, you know, that things change every day. You know, the things that was making him do what he was doing when I was talking to him yesterday, you know, years ago, that wouldn't be his reason for doing it. Last month it may not have been the reason for doing it. So things do change, and something that I say today takes a different effect on where he is today, he being your mate. Where is he? The season, the language, what's going on, you know, in his life and so forth. So it all does make a difference. Elder Mark, thank you, beloved, for putting that in there. I really appreciate that. Really appreciate
it. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you. Thank you. It's always a blessing to God.
Anytime. I love you, darling. Anytime. All righty. All right. So number six, the woman needs stability and security. Stability and security. A man who loves a woman will firmly shoulder the responsibility to house, feed, and clothe the family. He will provide and he will protect. He will never forget that he is the security hub of the family for both his wife and his children. She will be aware of his dependability, and as our information here indicates, so will others. There will be no doubt as to where his devotion and commitments lie. They are with his wife and his children. And again, so important. If a woman cannot feel secure and stable in the marriage, or feel that her husband is stable in her marriage, it will definitely cause for a downfall where the relationship is concerned. We have to feel secure. We've got to know that we can depend on the men. And it's a sad sight when that doesn't happen. It's a sad fact. Your children need to know that they can be secure. I remember an incident, you know, where the ex and I were out at a store. This is a long time ago, y'all. We were out at a store, and if you ever met him, he has a very meek appearance about him, very humble, very quiet appearing, and so forth. And we were in a store, and this brother walked up on me, you know, and he wanted to start talking trash and so forth. And all of a sudden, I saw something rear up in my husband, because he wasn't standing right next to me at the time, but he saw the man approach me. And something reared up in him, and he walked over. Man, that's my wife. And the brother said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I felt so secure, so protected. It was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful thing. And something as simple as that, I'm telling you, just changes the whole atmosphere around you, feeling that that person, you know, is protecting you. He doesn't have to be 10 feet taller than you and full of Arnold Schwarzenegger muscles and all that, but just the words out of his mouth, that's my wife, you know, and made the brother back down. Thank God the brother respected what he said. So I felt secure with him, you know, and so men, this is so important. It is so vitally important. Your children, you know, the kids go out and see, my dad can beat your dad, you know. You know, maybe not. Maybe that kid's father can beat your children's father to a pulp. But that child believes that their dad can beat anybody. You know, that security. Fathers being stable. Wives being able to depend on them to be there when they are supposed to be there. Vitally important. Beloved, you do the last one for us, please.
Amen. All right, so the last one is she needs family commitment. And a woman longs to know that her man puts the family first. Such a man will commit his time and energy to the spiritual, moral, and intellectual development of the entire family, especially the children. So, for example, he might play with them. He may read the Bible to them or engage in sports with them. He will also take them on exciting and fun-filled outings. And, you know, such a man will not play the fool's game of working long hours, trying to get ahead while his spouse and children languish in neglect. No, a woman needs a man who is committed to the family. She needs a man who puts his wife and children right behind his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when a man is committed to meeting the seven basic needs of his wife and the wife has the same commitment, it is not surprising that both husband and wife have a smile on their faces and joy in their hearts. This is the way God intended it from the beginning. As persons committed to God's plan for marriage, we should settle for and expect nothing less. Amen. So, yes, family commitment is everything. You know, wife knowing that her husband is available to have that engagement with the kids, that means everything. That's creating lasting memories for the kids. You know, they could be grown and still remember the times when dad did things with, you know, and it does hurt when dad is always at work or, you know, he's always on the phone and he's never paying his kids or his wife any attention, that they remember as well. And sometimes they then grow up and treat their wife and children the same way because that's what they saw, you know, in their parents' marriage. So that, just be committed to your family. It means everything when you're committed to your family. Creating lasting memories is everything. You want your children to run to you when you come home from work. You don't want them to, you walking through the door and they're like, oh, that's dad, and go leave and go in the other room, you know. I'm sure that would break the man's heart. So it's very, very important that you establish a relationship with your kids
very early on, so they'll know that they are protected. They'll feel safe. They'll, yes, daddy's home. You know, nothing can happen to us. Nobody can hurt us because my dad is here. And, you know, and that's the same way the wife feels about her husband. My husband is here. You know, nobody can do anything to me. Nothing can touch me. You know, and then especially when the man prays, you know, with his wife and over his children, you know, that speaks volumes in a marriage, and it just lets the family know that they are protected by God and by the father and the husband. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And thanks to God to all of you that are raising children, that you have your family together. When you do these seven basic needs, and listen to me, when you do these seven basic needs, and having God, of course, at the center of this, at the center of it, your wife will love you, she will respect you, and she will honor you. Your children will grow up to tell you one day, thank you for what you've done. They may not say it while it's going on. They may not appreciate the stuff that you do for them while it's happening. But as they mature and come into adulthood, and even into fatherhood, whether it be a stepfather or a birth father, when they will see what you did, and they will come to the place where they will say, thank you. I really appreciate it. Now I understand. And I pray that blessing over each and every family here. Each and every family here. I pray that blessing over y'all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Beloved, you have anything else you want to share before we close out?
No, ma'am. That's an awesome, awesome topic today, and I hope that it blessed someone.
Amen, amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you, and we honor you, and we bless you. And I thank you, Father, how, Lord God, that you have made it available, or made us available, for the listening audience to share these things, Lord God. I pray a blessing over every family, Father, married and unmarried, oh God. I pray blessings over these households. I pray for the spirit of peace to be upon them in the name of Jesus, that each household experience the love of God flowing through the residence, oh Lord God. I thank you that your will is being done here on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Beloved, this is Apostle Etta Banks, praise be unto God, saying to you that this is truly has been Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Go forth, have a blessed day, and know that we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Goodbye.
Amen.
Beloved, to be good. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Honey. See y'all next Saturday.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.